faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this part of the Bible from 18 to 32 is a very, very short synopsis of a nation that rises and falls. Okay, it's very, the Bible puts it down in a real short from verse 18 to 32, and you can just read history. Now, when you read history, you need to always keep in the back of your mind or in front of your mind or somewhere in there that you're reading somebody's opinion about history. Okay, that's what the editors and the authors do, is they're giving you their opinion about historical events. Okay, the one nation throughout history that is an example to all nations is Israel. So if you study the history of Israel, remember the Bible is the only accurate history book that's ever been written. And it's God writing history from his perspective, writing about the events. And so in Romans 1:18, you'll see the beginning, the start of a nation. This has happened in America. And then you see how it digresses down. They call it progressive. It digresses down until God says, okay, I'm done with that group, and we'll move somebody else in. So Israel was a nation that God chose. And this country were people that chose God. Now, that's not what's taught in the history classes. They usually accent upon Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson because they were the two deists. But they didn't talk about all the rest. Okay, like Honest John Hart built a Baptist church. And Honest John Hart, one of the signers of the Declaration, kissed his wife goodbye. I don't think he ever saw her again. Had 13 children and survived because he had a bullseye placed on him for signing the Declaration of Independence. So we have a tremendous heritage in our country. The motto for the so-called Revolutionary War was "No King but King Jesus." That was the motto. And George Washington got baptized by a Baptist preacher by the name of John Gano. Okay, and James Madison, he was the main author of the Constitution. His neighbor was a Baptist preacher also. And after showing his neighbor the draft of the Constitution, he said, "You have nothing in there for free exercise of religion and right to bear arms." And so that's why they added a 10 Bill of Rights. That would have been John Leland. Okay, and this is not taught in the schools because they don't want us to know these things. So if you can get documents back in those days, you can. That's how you get it direct from the source. Okay, so in Romans 1:18, now if in our country, after the Constitution was established, 12 years after the Declaration of Independence. Okay, remember who the highest law of our land is. Americans are not taught these things. Who is the highest law, or what is the highest law in our nation? And it's you, law-abiding people. That is the highest law. Okay, and the Constitution was a job description that they placed upon the federal or the national public servants. And boy, were they ingenious for a lot of things they did. And that's what we're starting to witness on this election. It's going back to the Constitution. Okay, but after that, Congress commissioned a fellow named Robert Atkin to publish a Bible for America. He could not publish the Geneva Bible, which is the only two they had at the time, Geneva Bible, because it had copyright, and the King James Bible was the only one he could publish. That became the Bible in America. And if you went to any church at that time, okay, outside of the Catholic Church, any Protestant church, that you could take one Bible in, and everybody had the same Bible. Until about 1960. even up to 1970. Okay, there was only one Bible throughout American history that the Protestants read. Of course, the Catholics had their Bible. Okay, so in 1970, since 1970 till today, Romans 1:18 has been, unfortunately, the practice in the Christian colleges, the seminaries, and in many, many churches. Okay, so we'll read it. Romans 1:18. So it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Okay, if you just stop right there, you would think, okay, yeah, God's mad at the unrighteous. But read the next phrase. Who are the first ones who hold the truth in unrighteousness? Okay, I'm holding the truth. Personally, I'm holding it in righteousness because I believe it. So how would you hold this in unrighteousness? They don't believe it. And you can go to Moody Bible Institute and give them a King James Bible and ask all the professors, I'm going to give this to you, you're holding it, do you believe that book in your hands the Word of God? And they will say no. They do not hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, now that now the wrath of God, first off the bat, wrath of God, if you study Greek mythology or if you study pagan religions, gods in Greek mythology are always mad. You never get them satisfied. They're always mad. They want somebody's bloodlust, and they're always, always mad. Okay? The God of the Bible, we can appease his anger through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so that's the unique difference about the God of the Bible. Allah, the God of the Muslim faith, is always mad. Can't satisfy him. Always mad. Zeus, Thor, Atlas, always mad. The sun god, the moon god, all these things. Always mad. You can't make them happy. But the God of the Bible, you can. Okay, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what's unique about him. Okay, so, but God is mad or upset with a nation when it is ungodly and unrighteous. Okay, but notice, hold the truth and unrighteousness. Now that verse there is aimed right at the Bible revisers. So you, in the Protestant churches, the King James Bible was the only one that was accepted amongst the Protestants. Okay, and until about 1970, you can go in any Protestant church and you can carry a King James Bible and you were on the exact same page with everybody else in the building. About 1970. The NIV came out in, I think, 74. Okay, and then you started getting all the new Bibles. And Romans 1:18, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So these scholars, professors, Dallas Theological Seminary, Philadelphia College of the Bible, and so forth and so on. This was a shocking thing that I discovered, you know, when I went to Grace College and the New Testament survey told us, read through the New Testament, but I encourage you, don't read through the King James Bible. So I went and got an NIV, and then I started wondering, what's going on? They're not the same. They're not the same. And so that gentleman was holding the truth in unrighteousness. He did not believe it. And I've got the letters back and forth between he and me after I discovered this issue. And they don't believe they have a perfect Bible anywhere. So that's where the downfall starts in any nation. Okay, why are we in the conundrum or the mess our country's behaving? I would have never dreamed, you know, when I started preaching several years ago, I would have never even dreamed of the idea of transgender movement. Not even dreamed of that thought. But now it's right in our face. Huh? Yeah, it's bragged about and everything. Unbelievable. And so this is a part of Romans. So if you're in Romans 1:18, if you kind of skim down through there, pick up about verse 26, vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burn in their lust one toward another. So obviously we see sodomy. Okay, so that is an absolute rule of life. If you back up and look in 22, professing themselves to be wise, that's where the college professor gets his title. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. So if a generation is taught that they evolved from a monkey, the end result will be, verse 26, 27, 28, sodomy will be rampant. And the end result, verse 32, they know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. So God has had enough. So if you go back in Alexander the Great, historians talk about Alexander the Great. I don't think he was so great. At 30, he conquered the known world. People say, well, that's great. Well, maybe so. The guy was a chronic drunk. Died of suicide at 33. One of his tutors was Aristotle. Socrates and Plato. Aristotle. Socrates. Two of those three were sodomites. Real encouraging. Okay, and then Greece goes down the tubes. Why at the end? Let's look at Judah. Okay, Israel, remember Israel split the 10 northern tribes to 2 southern. So Israel went cattywampus around 700 B.C. Judah is around 600 B.C. So let's see what happened to Judah before God judged them. 2 Kings 23. This is the last great revival, an upswing that Judah had. It's the last great one they had, and then it went cattywampus from then on out. I mean, it's just amazing how bad it went. This was a young fella named Josiah. He was a personal friend with Jeremiah. The same Jeremiah, the writer of the book of Jeremiah. They were pals growing up. Okay, and Josiah was cleaning up the Jewish temple, and they found a Bible in there, and they started reading some things out of the Bible that they found, the copy of the Bible that they had. They didn't have Bibles like we do. You know, they just had to hand write them out. And what part of the Bible they started reading was judgment on Israel. I'm going to nay for this, nay for that, nay for this. And that scared Josiah, and he asked the Hilkiah the priest, he said, what's he talking about here? And the Lord said, since that guy, that young man, has a tender heart, I'm going to show him what I'm saying. That'll be chapter 22, verse 19. Thine heart was tender, and thou hast tender and humbled thyself. So then he cleaned up the Jewish temple and he got the priests all sanctified. But notice what was right next to the Jewish temple in chapter 23, verse 7. He broke down the houses of the Sodomites. Wow. What do they got to be an interest in Judaism for? 2 Kings 23, 7. Did I get you to the right place? Why are the Sodomites right next to the Jewish temple? Wouldn't that be a place they wouldn't want to be? But that's where they're at. And then he really took care of all that. He cleaned house. He really cleaned house. And that was the last great revival they had under Josiah. And then after he died, he passed away, then everything went downhill like, you know, a snowball down a hill, and it wasn't going to stop, and they went right back into it. And so this is a pattern that nations follow. We learn from history that men seldom learn from history, and therefore they're destined to repeat it. So America began as a result of the colonists, the common people were seeking after God. Okay, that's how it began, and America's following, coming through pretty good. They generally, as I said, they had, you go to any Protestant church in the 1800s, Methodist, you know, the Pentecostals came along, you know, the Baptists, the Congregationalists, you go to any of those churches, you'd have one Bible in English, the King James Bible. And then in 1950, 1960, 1970, then new Bibles started coming out, and since then there's been 200 different English translations. The English language has fallen archaic, out of date, about every 3 months. And every single one of them in Romans 1:18, where it says, hold the truth and unrighteousness, every single one of them changes it to suppress the truth. And the reason why they change it is because that verse is aimed at the revisers. And when they come across that verse, they said, whoa, that looks like that's talking to me. That certainly can't be talking to me. I'm a godly man. That can't be talking to me. It's got to be somebody else. So let's change the wording. And that's what they do, every single one of them. And then when you get down to verse 25, every single one of them do the same thing, where it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie, meaning they're changing words, subtracting words. The NIV took out 60,000 words. Okay, and they changed that verse. They came across that, and the guy said, oh boy, he's talking to me again. He can't be talking to me. I'm a good, godly, dedicated man. And so then they changed the word changed to exchanged. So any new Bible that comes out of the market, you know, the one I've, of all through the years, I've collected quite a few of them. I paid for one, a new King James. I paid $2 for that one. And then this other one I just came across. I actually bought this one because it had a funny quote in there that I figured they'd going to get rid of the quote. And so I had to keep that one. And that's that one where Caleb's daughter was sitting on a camel and it said she blew wind. And so, you know, of course it's not in the Bible. They had to throw that in there. And then right after she did that, Caleb says, what do you mean by that? It's like, well, what do you think I meant? I had some beans. That's what I had. Okay. And so I just for you know, pleasure or humor's sake, I had to get that one. But again, they did the same thing with these verses. Every single one of them do that. Okay, so in verse 18, we start with a word of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Where does it start? Who hold the truth and unrighteousness. Okay, why is our country going through what it's going through? Who's at fault? Most churches would blame at fault at the liberals. Who's at fault? The Lord says, I'll tell you who's at fault. It's the pastors, it's the professors, it's the scholars in the colleges and seminary. That's who I'm looking at, the Lord. That's who he's looking at. So that's verse 18. Okay, then verse 9. But that, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So whenever I've talked to an atheist, I know there's really no such thing as an atheist per se. You're just trying to get them to admit that they're not an atheist, but they are. And sometimes a person is an atheist because they've suffered a loss that they thought God should have answered a prayer, and sometimes it's that way. Sometimes it's usually in the younger generation, it's somebody that just wants to live the way they want to live. But I know God has revealed himself to them, because if I take any and all of those atheists up in an airplane and give them a backpack and tell them it's a parachute, when he finds out it's not a parachute, he's going to scream, oh my God, all the way down. They know there's a God. Okay, and so in verse 19, it says, which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed unto them. Okay, so God has showed himself to every single person. How? Two ways. One is your conscience, okay, and the other is the creation. So those are the two ways. I wrote a little track called The Religion of evolution. And I like to hand that out to young people at college campuses because it is a religion. And basically, when I talk to them about the subject, usually they're pretty mocking at the beginning, but by the time we get talking about science and we talk about some evidence, they're not mocking too much after a couple, few minutes. And so I just ask them, how do you think the earth got here? And then they'll throw in their opinion. I said, that's not scientific. You can't prove that scientifically. They have one of two choices. The earth has been forever, which is violates the law of entropy, and the earth created itself naturally, which nothing does that. And one of these Purdue kids, I was talking to him, and I looked at the building. I said, you know, that building wasn't there 3 billion years ago. It evolved, and right there it is. And, of course, they're looking at you, knucklehead. Well, I think you're a knucklehead if you think the creation is like that, too. Very intelligent being put it here. The DNA is a relatively new discovery. That is evidence of an intelligent being putting a computer program in our DNA. It's a fascinating study. So a lot of times these people will say the Bible is on one side and science is on the other. That's not true. The Bible is a scientific book. Okay, science is found in the Bible twice, meaning in this Bible, twice. All the new Bibles take it out. Okay, one is Daniel where he understood science, and the other is a warning against science falsely so-called. It's what Bill Nye, or I like to call him Will Die, okay, what he calls science is pseudoscience. Okay, it's fake science. Okay, Neil deGrasse Tyson, that's what I call him, Peel deGrasse Tyson. Okay, what he calls science in most cases is pseudoscience. Okay, because science is something that you should be able to observe to be valid. So we promote science. We want people to study science. We want people to know it. Okay, and science is what proves the Bible is true. True science helps with the proof of the Bible. But they've done a real good job of saying that the Bible is a simply religious book and religion's on one side and science is on the other. No, religion and the religion of pseudoscience, they're both religions. Okay, and so when a society... And you can run this through history and study it. When a society is raised on the evolutionary theory, the end result will be, just like the Bible says, sodomy and the transgender movement. Okay? And when it gets to that realm, okay, somebody who chooses the transgender route, okay, if they're young, I feel sorry for the young ones because they're being manipulated. Okay, but when they're old enough to really make that decision, they're striving with their maker is what they're doing. They're striving with God. You made me wrong, okay, and I'm going to go this route. And it is not going to bode well for them. Study on YouTube, if they haven't censored it yet, but is find some people that regretted doing the transgender. There's one man on there, man, he went, woman came back, man, and he said, boy, was I lied to. Yes, you were. It's a very sad thing what people go through. Very sad. Okay, and so in verse 19, he says... God has made himself known to them. Now, how do I know that if I'm talking to them? Okay, if I'm talking to, I enjoy talking to young people. Most of the time when they walk by me, they don't want to talk to the old guy. You know, they like to talk to my wife pretty good. But they usually don't want to talk to me. But when they do talk to me, they kind of say, wow, this is different, it's better than what I thought. But it's usually a very pleasant conversation. I enjoy myself talking to them. They're very intelligent kids in some areas. But if you get them off that subject, if they'd be as critical of their science professor as they are the Bible, they'd discover he's lying more to them than the Bible, what they think the Bible is. And so I'll just start asking them questions to try to get them to think. Okay? And when they believe in justice, in any form of justice, that's when I tell them, I say, well, then how did you come up with that idea? Where did you come up with that idea of justice? Because there's no justice in nature. None. Zero. Dogs don't get together and find out who killed another dog. Or a cat. You know, when a big dog, you know, amazingly, when a little dog kills a big dog by getting caught in his throat, you know, they don't have a big court case about that. Okay? Little dogs are just cats impersonating dogs anyway. But there's no justice in nature. There's zero justice in nature. But yet, as soon as somebody believes in justice, that is evidence of a moral code. And God placed that in their conscience. That's how you know. I was talking to one of these guys where I think he lost his tackle box and he put all his fish and lures on his face. And we were talking and talking, and he was, you know, oh, this and that and this, and, you know, oh, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with this, all this. And I said to him, I said, so I got to find some standard. You believe in some standard. I said, can I punch you in the face right now? And he goes, no, I don't believe you could do that because that would cause me pain. I said, oh, good, praise the, I found a standard. You got a standard somewhere. So it would be wrong for me to punch you right now. And he said, yeah. I said, oh, good, I'm glad you got a standard and I'm in agreement with you. So you just told me you had a conscience. You just told me God has revealed something to you. And that's what we discovered. Now, he don't want to admit there was a God. He wants to live the way he wants to live. He don't think he's going to answer to God, but he's going to answer to God. And when he does answer to God, the Lord is going to call me to testify. And the Lord's going to say, what did you say to this young man down there at Purdue campus that one time? I said, oh, yeah, I remember that conversation. And then this guy is going to have to listen to my testimony. And the Lord's going to find him guilty if he doesn't trust Christ somewhere in that line. And all we do is we just sow the seeds. Verse 20, he says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Okay, Godhead, that's found three times in the Bible. Another word for that is Trinity. Okay, but so the creation is an outward evidence. The conscience is an inward evidence. And then verse 21, because that when they knew God, yeah, they knew God. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Okay, so they did not want to give God the glory, and then the next thing is neither were thankful. So the first step down is ingratitude. And that's one thing as parents, we need to teach our children to learn to be grateful, to say thank you, to appreciate things. This, give me society. Give me. You know, if you open a door for somebody, I like to hear the word thank you. If they don't say it, I haven't done it yet, but I kind of want to say, come back and open your own stinking door. It's nice to hear some gratitude. Bob Jones Sr. said, when a man has lost his gratitude, he is well nigh hopeless. And so when somebody does something for you, express gratitude. Appreciate what they've done for you. They've taken their time, their precious time that they can't get back for something that you have done or what your parents have done for you. Express some gratitude. Write notes of gratitude. Too bad Thanksgiving only occurs one time out of the year. What is an evolutionist thankful to on Thanksgiving Day? Frog? An amoeba? The gray mush? You know, and that's why the world tries to ignore Thanksgiving. They want to go from Halloween to Christmas, skip Thanksgiving, because it is understood that we're grateful to God. And the world doesn't want us to do that. And so these people, their first step downward is neither were thankful in this entitlement society. So ungrateful. Then it says, but became vain in their imaginations. Okay, this is the basic root of the transgender movement. It's the basic root of it. They imagine. I imagine I'm a boy. I imagine I'm a girl. I don't know what I'm imagining. I think I imagine I'm a dog. You know, and that's where it's heading. Okay, it's just nonsense. It's just crazy what people are saying. Identify, you know. We knew somebody that lived next to us. They were raised in Africa. So they were missionary kids in Africa. And his brother was trying to be, I think, a nurse in a hospital. But yet they had a quota to meet. They needed to get an African-American. They came out and said that. And he said, that's me! He was white as any of us are white. And he said, I was raised in I'm an African-American. Well, he got the job. And so, yeah, that works. Okay, and so they became vain in their imaginations. Now, where does that imagination eventually lead to? During the flood, their imaginations was wicked and evil, and they're violent. And so this is where it ends up. They cheapen life, and they'll kill a little infant in the womb. And then some of them now want to allow the baby to be born, and then they got like 6 weeks to decide. You see, they cheapen life so much. You know, and Americans are living in this bubble, and people don't want to admit it, but they need to study how an abortion takes place. It's a violent act, what they're doing. Okay, that one issue alone is why I'd never pull the D on the election thing. Because they promote it, even partial birth abortion. Fortunately, that was made illegal. But I knew a preacher in York, Pennsylvania. They had a Halloween parade every year. And he figured, oh, Halloween, blood and guts. Okay, let's show pictures of abortions. And boy, they were up. He was just showing them the reality of it. He got sued. He fought it in court and won. The next year they had to let him in the parade again, but they put him way at the back after all the horses. You know how that goes. And then the mayor walking from him said, he's coming, everybody get out of here. But he was just telling the truth of what happens. And Americans, they don't study the idea, not to be gory or gross or sadistic. It's just realize what goes on. And our country is going to be held accountable for these things. And so he says, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing. Okay, that's where the college professor gets his name. That's where he gets his title. Down at Purdue, if I see somebody that looks a little older, maybe not my age, but and I offer them a gospel tract and stick their nose up in here and walk on, that's a professor. You stick your tongue out, you look like a zipper. You're so narrow-minded. You know, and the thing is, you look at them and say, I thought you people were open-minded. Aren't you broad-minded? At least give it a shot. Nope. That's narrow-minded bigotry. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They're not a monkey's uncle. A monkey is their uncle. And it's just, and they think that's intelligent. And I'm looking at them saying, really? You think you came from a monkey? And you lost your tail because it was a vestigial organ. I could use that tail on many occasions. That's why they put the slit in the back of those suit coats, because that, the tail would have came through real nice. Two hands on the groceries, a tail open a door. I mean, that's not a vestigial organ. We need that.
Shingles, tails hanging
onto the chimney. Yeah. So many things we could have used it for. But, I mean, you got to laugh at some of this stuff, where these people are. One time, Joe Kenning and I was talking to these guys, and he was talking about the earth spinning, and back then I sort of kind of, yeah, okay, we talked about that, and I said, that's what happened to all those dinosaurs. It was spinning so fast it spun them off. And the guys look at me like, well, you said it was spinning faster than it is today. They can't hold on that quick. Oh, yeah. You just got to kind of laugh about that stuff. Okay, and then verse 23. Now, 23 is evolution in reverse. So, change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image make like to corruptible man and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So, if you read it backwards, creeping things, amoeba, gray mush, come on land, learn how to breathe, backslide, go back in the water. That's what a whale is. That's a whale is God's joke on the evolutionist. How many whales drown before they learn how to breathe? Four-footed beasts, birds, man, God. Now, the problem with the God thing is that's only limited to a very small select group of people. And then, and I've talked to a few young college kids, and I say, okay, so you believe in a survival of the fittest? And they said, yeah, survival of the fittest. I said, so Adolf Hitler's your hero. Oh, do they backpedal when I say that? Well, his gun was better than other people's, and wasn't he doing what he did? They backpedal on that, that's for sure, because that's reality. So what happens? Okay, then verse 24, as a society progresses down here, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Okay, this dishonoring of this body, this is where now the cosmetic surgery is so prevalent. Okay, and this has been going on for years. If a person wants to take the time to study it, and I don't say put a lot of time into it, find one of these who are an admitted one and then compare the secret ones with that, and then you'll discover it is more prevalent than we know. Many of the Hollywood people are, many, and this is taught, okay? Here, you go back to the ancient days. Here's what the Kabbalah teaches. The Kabbalah is the mystic Judaism that people like Madonna worship some Kabbalah. So this is mystic Judaism. Okay, here's what they teach. They teach that Adam was created a male-female. Okay, together. When Adam sinned, that's where the gender split. And so in order to get back to that power, these elitists in the Kabbalah movement, and many of them are doing this, if a child is born male, they'll raise it female. If it's born female, they'll raise it male. And then they'll start, at certain times, start giving hormone shots, doing certain things to that individual. Okay, that poor kid, can you imagine those children raised like that? So confused. And then they'll break down, emotionally break down, because of the mental pressure put on them, and it gets into the MK Ultra stuff, okay, and then they just use these people for their perverted ways, okay, and this has been going on for a long, long time, and God is sick of it. In verse 24, he says, God gave them up. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So they'll save the spotted owl. But what about the people that are being affected because they're saving the spotted owl? Brett used to have a bumper sticker on his pickup. It says, "Spotted owl, I like spotted owls. They taste like chicken." Okay, and so they worship. And so that's what Al Gore's doing. I think Al Gore's like Igor. And John Kerry's like Lurch. But what they're doing, they're not, they really don't care about the environment. The green movement is designed to bring in international socialism. That's what it's designed to do. To take your rights and my rights away from us and to cram us into cities like in China. That's the goal of the Great Reset. And we are at a real fork in the road here at this Great Reset. And you can read about the Great Reset and study it. There is an archbishop that sent President Trump an open letter in October about this Great Reset. Okay, and he was just praying that Trump is able to shut this down, because he's the one that's holding it up. I don't know, maybe we want it because then it's going into the tribulation and we're out of here. Who knows? Okay, so verse 25, verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." Okay, vile, if you put the E in front of it, E, take the E at the end and put it in front, it's evil affections, the same thing, vile, evil affections. "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Again, if you're dealing with somebody about these issues, you discover there's a lot of sadness going on. A lot of sadness. There's a fella down in New Orleans who's passing out gospel tracts, and he was in a taxi with a guy, and he was passing out gospel tracts at Mardi Gras. And he was saying that he believes that many of the sodomites were molested as kids, and the taxi guy said 100%. And people don't understand what happens in those cases, the psychology and the spirituality that takes place, where it's a spiritual marriage where now it goes back and forth, and then that child's given thoughts by these spirits and they're totally confused. Okay, and usually, even in the transgender movement, most of the children that are told these foolish ideas, by the time they hit puberty, they figure it out. But yet, the agenda, the devil knows this is a great way to confuse society and destroy it. So what does God do in verse 28? "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." The Democrats, when they pledge allegiance, they leave out "under God." They've been doing this for quite a few years now. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge until they want to portray their religious. You know, and Biden, a 78-year-old Catholic, doesn't know that it's pronounced Psalms. And he called it Palmist. The Palmist says, and when I heard that, Palmist, where do you keep your palms off the little kids? I mean, just nonsense. It's amazing. "They did not even like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Now, a reprobate mind, or reprobate, the word reprobate means unprincipled. Okay, unprincipled individual. I'm not sure how far you can take a reprobate, meaning that they can't get saved. There doesn't come a time when a person is so far gone it's out there. I'm not sure how far, but here you can see that God gave up. And that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. And then he gives a list. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication." Now, the reason why that's at the top, because the devil knows that that's the key to ruin society. That's how spirits flow back and forth between people, beings. Fornication. Let's try Jude, verse 7. It's a blessing that the Bible gives us this forewarnings so that we can see what's happening. And hopefully we stand true to the Word of God and don't make the first step hold the truth and unrighteousness. If we continue to holding fast the Word of truth. Jude verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. Anybody that knows a little about the Bible and knows about those cities, I've been to Gomorrah. Okay, I've been there. We drove past the remnants of Sodom. And Gomorrah is, just like the Bible says, it's nothing but ashes. Okay, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So there's a place, a historical site in Israel called Masada. You can find it online, Masada. That's where a Jewish colony, some people lived on top of this mountain. And the Romans were trying to get up to conquer them. About 900 of them were living on top of this mountain. They had water supply. They had everything they needed. And they couldn't figure out how to get to them to conquer them. And so they held out for a long time. But eventually, they did figure out how to get to them, and the people on Masada, they committed mass suicide. They didn't want to be conquered by Rome. And it's a historical site today. At the foot of it, and a little bit south, is all this ashes. Very strange looking thing. Nobody knows it's there. Our bus was the only one that stopped there. And then if you start noticing and looking around, you're looking for little white balls, like not hailstones, but little white, and it's sulfur. Okay, and sulfur is brimstone. And if you take a match to, and I've brought some of it home, and you take a match to it, it will turn blue flame, like a cutting torch. There are four places, five if you throw in Zoar, five places there in Israel where this high sulfur content and salt content, and it's not like that found any place in the world. And then there's a perimeter line on the south of Sodom, a perimeter line up north of the perimeter is a high content of salt, the highest content of salt in throughout the world, and that's Josephus wrote that they think Mrs. Lot was still standing out there. He wrote about that. I don't know if the camels kept licking on her or she's gone now or what happened to her. You know, but that's very unique. That's the scientific evidence. Okay, and just to imagine, and if they'd put a big sign there and say, this is an example to you in the world. If you do this, then I'm going to do this. And that's what God did. And what is it? They went at holy after fornication. And it says strange flesh. So it is it's what Hollywood is portraying. Hollywood's portraying this stuff, trying to get people to accept it. And that's when the Lord has had it enough. Okay, in Romans, we'll just run down through some of the list here. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Okay, maliciousness is purposeful, wanton, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. The first time I heard some young people down at Purdue say, F Jesus Christ, I thought, wow. And it became regular. Wow, that's bad. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Oh, that right there, without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful. Okay, unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Yeah, that's right. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Okay, and this is like the BLM, the riots. Anybody could see that. It wasn't peaceful protests, and they're beating on older people. Okay, and they'll justify it in their spirit. So how does it go from verse 18 of holding the truth to worthy of death? Here the Bible puts it all in a little summary, and if all you got to do is study history, this is what happened to Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Israel, Judah, Rome, those Caesars, Rome, what was happening, and then Rome got conquered. And then if you go to Britain, Britain's a third-rate power now. United Kingdom, you go there and see the perversion going on there. I mean, there it's public. Okay, and then us. And so I do believe, as a born-again believer, we need to pray that God has mercy on our country. That if we don't get back to the Bible, it's back to the jungle. Okay, and so it's a blessing that the Bible doesn't leave us blind, where we can foretell things by the pattern the Bible gives us. And hopefully we stay true to that book. Okay, so here we go. That's chapter 1. We kind of threw it pretty good. Oh, I went longer than expected. Sorry. Okay, prayer question.